Welcome to This Is Your Life with Michael Hyatt, where our goal is to help you win at work and succeed at life. My name is Stu McLaren, your host for season 5 of the podcast, and I'm in studio with the one and only Mr. Michael Hyatt. How you doing, buddy?
Good, Stu. Good to see you.
It's great to see you, and I am very excited about this episode.
Me too. Both of us care about this a lot.
Yes. We are going to be talking about money.
Yes.
And for us, right off the bat, to say it's something that we really care about could maybe make some people feel uncomfortable.
Yeah. I don't know what it is in this culture, but everybody needs money to live.
Yep.
But a lot of people feel guilty about making it.
Yeah. And we see this all the time with entrepreneurs, platform builders that we're helping coach, and in that they have tremendous confidence in the value that they are able to provide, but yet feel very hesitant about actually charging for their services.
They do. And I remember when I started, quote, monetizing my platform, I felt kind of squeamish about it. Like maybe I shouldn't do it. And I was, talked into it. Somebody showed me the potential of what it could mean if I would start advertising on my blog. And sure enough, I started making almost immediately several thousand dollars a month doing it. I went, wow. But I also got some criticism. So some people were writing to me and telling me they were disappointed that I had sold out. And, you know, I let it bother me a lot more than it probably should have.
So they were calling you a sellout because you were making money from your book.
Yeah, exactly. And it bothered me till I realized that all those same people had jobs.
Yeah.
That they were getting paid for. And apparently they didn't mind me doing my work for free, but they weren't about to do work for free. And so, you know, for anything good to happen, there's got to be that exchange and there's got to be a way to make money off of it.
Well, in today's episode, we want to talk about why making money is a good thing.
Yes.
And I know, I can't wait to unpack this, but you've got 4 compelling reasons why we should do it for the money and feel great about it.
Absolutely.
And so let's start with reason number 1.
Reason number 1 is that it gives us a pro mindset. And it automatically improves the quality of whatever we're offering because you go from amateur to being pro.
You would let yourself off the hook if you were doing everything for free.
Exactly.
If you couldn't get a blog post out on time or a podcast episode recorded,
it's not a big deal.
Yeah, it's not a big deal.
But once you say you're a professional and you're actually charging for it, it changes your mindset completely. You show up in a different way. You show up on time. You're more consistent. You're more creative. You put that extra work into it to make it really quality because there's an exchange. People are paying you money. There's an expectation that you're going to provide a service that's, in my case, I want to wow them. So I want to go beyond their expectations.
Yep.
So, yeah. So it makes you think differently. It changes your mindset about it.
And that cascades down into everything that you do. In the quality of your work, the way you approach relationships, the way you approach your learning and everything about it changes when you have a pro mindset.
Well, do you remember when you came to me about starting a membership site, right? Before there was any Platform University, before that had even hatched in either one of our minds. And one of the things that you shared with me that really intrigued me is that you said, look, if you would create a membership site and actually charge people for this, it would allow you to take your production to another level.
Yep.
It would allow you to provide better content, more meaningful, more helpful content. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. But it would have never been possible if we weren't charging.
Well, because when you want to produce at a high level, it costs money.
Yes.
And so that money has to come from somewhere. So you have 2 choices at that point. You can either find another way to generate that revenue.
Like a sponsor
or
advertiser,
generating revenue by doing other activities and then just using it for, you know, higher production or whatever. But the problem with that is that it takes your focus away from the very thing that you're trying to do. So the ultimate is to be able to generate revenue from the very thing that you want to do so that you can provide a higher quality product for your customers.
Exactly right. And I just like what it did to me. Mm. You know, I decided I took my writing more seriously. And at that time, I wasn't podcasting. I eventually podcasted. But it wasn't just a hobby anymore.
Right.
You know, it was a professional thing that I do. This is how I make my living. And I'm going to do it as well as I can possibly do it.
Awesome. So that's reason number 1 is it gives you a pro mindset. What's reason number 2?
Reason number 2, and I love this one, because it improves our customer's experience.
Which is kind of an extension of what we were just saying.
It
allows you to have more to be able to create a better quality product and service and so forth.
Yeah, the truth is, unless people have something invested, they don't value it.
Right.
You know, just think about all the free eBooks you've gotten, all the free services you've gotten. what happens? Those are the books that don't get read. Those are the services that don't get used. I've had lots of people give me free books. I've had people give me access to websites for free. I never go check them out.
Right.
Because I don't got anything invested in them.
Yep.
And there's something about requiring people to invest that makes a huge difference. Back when I was in the conference business with my friend Ken Davis, you know, occasionally we would give people free tickets to our conferences.
Yep.
I can almost guarantee it to the persons too. I can think of about two exceptions in, I don't know, scores of tickets that we gave away. But I can think of two exceptions. But for the most part, people, those were the people that didn't show up on time. They canceled at the last minute, even though we had to invest in food and accommodations, guarantee their hotel rooms and all that. These were the people that didn't take notes when they were in the sessions. Probably complained.
Yep.
You know, but they just had nothing invested. And I think that unless people are invested, they don't get what they need to get out of it.
So it creates a better experience for them because when they're paying, they value it more and there's a much higher probability that they implement what it is that you're teaching.
And yeah, and I'm, this is going to be something controversial I'm going to say, but this is one of the reasons why I think in every case when an organization thinks about being for-profit or nonprofit, they need to think long and hard about it.
Hmm.
I support many nonprofits. I know you have a nonprofit organization, and there's definitely a place for it. But I think if you can possibly make it work on the for-profit model, it ends up being better for the recipients of the service.
Interesting.
Because they've got something invested in it.
Yep.
You know, they've got skin in the game is another way to say it. This is why I also ultimately got rid of advertising on my site. It's not that advertising's, you know, bad. It's got its place. It served me well for a number of years. But it allowed me to provide something free to people when I think they would be better served by paying for it.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. Because they didn't have any skin in the game at that
point. That's right.
Right.
So even though you could fund it from some other source, I mean, you could do it from a, you know, a government loan, you could do it from a sponsorship or from advertising, still that doesn't solve the problem of what's best for the very people that you're trying to reach.
Right.
And I think if they're vested, if they're making a contribution, that's great. And I saw this, and again, it's going to be controversial, but, you know, I was in the book publishing world. And there were a lot of, quote, ministries who gave books away for free in places like Russia. Mm. And meanwhile, I had booksellers in Russia who were trying to establish a legitimate business with an ecosystem of buying and selling books that could never get it off the ground because these well-intentioned missionaries were coming in and giving all this Christian literature away for free.
Right.
And oh, by the way, a lot of the people that received that literature didn't value it because it was free and it never got read anyway.
Right.
So they could report to their constituents that they were giving all this literature away and it was helping all these people. But the empirical evidence was that it wasn't really helping them because they didn't value it and they weren't reading it.
They weren't doing anything with
yeah.
it. Yeah. So the number two reason you should start charging money and feeling good about it is that it's going to improve the customer's experience.
Yep.
Well, I can't wait to unpack the next two reasons. We've covered two so far. There's another two to come. We're going to get to those right after this quick break.
If you're like most members of my audience, you're committed to winning at work and succeeding in life. But the truth is, you struggle with finding enough time to do it all. And that's exactly why I wrote my new ebook, Shave 10 Hours Off Your Work Week, 4 Proven Strategies for Creating More Margin for the Things That Matter Most. You can't buy Shave 10 Hours Off Your Work Week, but you can get it for free by subscribing to my free email newsletter. My email newsletter notifies you whenever I've posted fresh content to my blog, so you don't always have to visit my blog to stay up to date. To get your free copy of the Shave 10 Hours Off Your Work Week ebook, visit michaelhyatt.com and enter your name and email address into the form on the page. If you're tired of feeling like there's never enough time to get it all done, don't miss your chance to discover how to reclaim the margin you deserve. Sign up at michaelhyatt.com.
Welcome back. We are talking about 4 reasons why making money is a good thing and that you should never feel guilty about it. We've covered 2 thus far, Michael. The first being because it gives us a pro mindset. The second, because it improves our customers' experience. What's the third reason that making money is a good thing and we should never feel guilty about it?
Because it allows us to provide for our families.
Right.
You know, work is an honorable thing. And, you know, I think that a man or a woman who's responsible is going to provide for their family. And you've got to do that in some way. And so making money for your family, making money so that they can survive and you could provide for them the kind of life that you want them to have is a really good and positive and noble thing.
Let me ask you, I want to challenge and play devil's advocate for a second. What about the person that says, well, you know, what if I make a certain amount of money that is able to provide for the family, and I'm fine with that. I don't need to make any more. So then they don't charge really what the true value of what they're offering or providing. What would you say to that? Because they're satisfying their family needs, but they're really not, they don't want to get beyond that.
Well, your family's needs aren't the only needs. You know, there's a lot of needs, as it turns out, in the world. And if you're going to have an impact in the world and meet the real needs of real people, whether they're home or abroad, that takes a surplus.
Yep.
You know, you've got to be able to provide for your own family, and I believe that's a priority. I want to provide for my own family first, including my extended family. And then beyond that, there's a whole world of need out there. Places, I mean, you do a lot of work in Africa. I want to talk to you about that in a minute. I've done some work and contributed to some organizations in Africa. And there's just a world of need out there.
Yep.
And, you know, we live in a very abundant, very resourceful world where we have an incredible income. Even the poorest of our poor are richer than most of the world's poor.
Big time.
You know, so the only way to do that is make more money than you take in. And I think that's a noble thing too. You know, I feel actually within the ethical bounds of, you know, what's right and what's wrong, as long as I'm doing things that are ethical, I think I have a moral obligation to make as much money as I possibly can. Why? So I can give as much as I possibly can.
Well, and that really brings us to the fourth reason. You want to share what that is?
Yeah, the fourth reason is because it allows us to impact the world. And I want to turn the tables on you and talk about how you came to this realization and why you're doing what you're doing with your charitable organization.
Well, I struggled with money for a long time. You know, I was...
Struggled with making money.
With making money. In the sense that I was, when I was in my early and mid-20s, I was making great money. And I was looking at it, I was living in a small town where I grew up in an agricultural community where most people were working on the farms. And so in my early and mid-20s, I was making phenomenal money. I was making more than both my parents combined. And I was making more than most of my friends by far, most of the people in my community. And I started to feel incredibly guilty about that. And what happened was, on a subconscious level, I started sabotaging my own success. It was almost as if I had reached a level that my subconscious was saying, okay, Stu, that's enough. You can't make any more than that. And so I was starting to sabotage my own success.
Like a thermostat almost on your...
Yeah, it was almost like I reached that level and so now I was kind of capping out. And what happened was the thing that changed that, it was an experience where I was in Africa. And I'm so grateful to my wife because she has just opened up my world in a whole new way. And we were in Africa and she was determined. She really wanted to help build schools in rural communities because she was a teacher and she really saw the need for education. And so we're standing in this rural community and I'll never forget, we're in this wide open field. And the only thing that's there are these mud huts made of stick and mud. But there's no roads, no water, there's no buildings, there's no infrastructure, no jobs, no economy, no nothing in this area, just these mud huts. And these people had been moved there and basically told to start their lives over. And so we were thinking of building a school in this community, and I'm meeting with the chairman of the community. And I'm asking him all kinds of numbers about, like, what does it cost to build a school and so forth. And then I asked him, how much does it cost to fund the full-time salary of a teacher? And he said it would be about $100 a month. And at the time, the software that we were selling in our company was $97. And immediately, that number just kind of rang true. I thought to myself, well, hang on a minute. If I make one more sale of the software per month and I just donate that to the charity, that could pay the salary of a full-time teacher. I thought, oh my goodness, like what a ripple effect that would have. Like the teacher would then be able to teach, you know, hundreds of kids every month. And it started to play out in my mind. And then I made the bigger connection. Well, hang on a minute. What if I make a whole lot more money and donate it think about the impact that that could have. And then I realized, wow, that's the opportunity as an entrepreneur, is that the more money I make, the more impact I could have. And that I really connected with. And that completely started to shift my perspective on money and making money. And it took it from something I felt guilty about, because it was almost like a selfish thing, like accumulating money and wealth for my own well-being. I felt guilty about that. To now, as you said, it became an honorable thing. Because now, once I started making money, I then became a steward of that money. I could direct it any which way I wanted, whether I used it for my own self purposes, which is fine, you know, you earned it, or I could use it for my family or my local community or the world at large. That's what got me excited. So now, when people ask me, do I want to make money? Heck yeah, I want to make money as much as I possibly can, because of the impact that I can have with that money.
Yeah, I'm part of a board of a school, actually a seminary. And when I see the work that those guys are doing and what meager resources they work with, every time I'm there, I keep thinking, how can I make more money to give them more help?
Right.
Because, you know, it's a high leverage activity, kind of like education is for you and Amy in Africa.
Yep.
You know, you're not just funding one person, but you're having an impact that goes well beyond that one person.
And here's the one challenge that I would give everybody is that oftentimes I hear people talk about donating time, which is very honorable and noble too. However, that is very limited in the amount of time you can give.
That's right.
And so, for example, like, let's just take the building schools in Africa, because that's what I'm involved with so much. I could go and donate my time to build a school. And I do that, you know, for certain weeks throughout the year, we go and do that. However, I'm limited in the amount of time I can give. I can't stay there forever building schools. I've got two young kids, a family at home. And not only that, I'm really not that good at building schools. You know, I'm not good with the tools. So the school would not be very good if I were, you know, building it full time. However, there's that the work still needs to be done. And I can have far greater impact if I can use what my skill set as an entrepreneur to be able to create money to then invest it and hire people who are far more skilled than I and create jobs for the local communities, as well as actually building the school. That has a much more bigger ripple effect than me just donating time.
Didn't Warren Buffett talk about this very thing?
I'm not sure.
I think he talks about why he didn't start a foundation and his friend Bill Gates did, and he just tries to make all the money he can and gives it to Bill to invest. But he says, look, I'm good at buying and selling businesses.
Right.
And that's where I make my biggest contribution. So great.
That's awesome. Yeah, well, this for me was solidified by a video on YouTube. And I'm going to recommend that we link this up in the show notes.
Okay.
And the video is called The Secret Billionaire.
Oh, yeah.
And this video really opened my eyes to this on a much bigger scale. And it was a video that was a biography of a gentleman by the name of Chuck Feeney. Now, Chuck, many of us, I had never heard of him before. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but
just from you. Yeah.
And so Chuck basically was the creator of the duty-free shops. And so he made a ton of money. Like, he's a multi-billionaire. And he felt ridiculously guilty about all the money he was making. And so he was secretly giving it away, to the point where, like, he was building entire universities and people were wondering, where is this money coming from? Because he didn't want to get any credit for it. He just wanted to kind of give it away. It was almost like he was washing himself of you know, the guilt. Well, long story short, he's now in his late 70s. And a few years ago, he decided to kind of come out and share what he was doing in the hopes that he would inspire other entrepreneurs to do the same. And his goal is to give away all of his money before he dies. Mm. He's giving away over $1 million a day to various causes and things that he's passionate about. And I just, when I was watched that biography, I was just so inspired of the impact that he's having on a massive scale. But it all comes back to the very point of he was making money.
Yeah.
And that's where the high leverage point was. That's where he was able to have the most impact. And it was very, very inspiring. And so I'd encourage people to watch that as well,
because
it really opens your eyes to the impact that we can have.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can have a much greater impact when you've got money and you can influence and actually make those things happen.
Yep. Awesome.
All right.
So we have talked about four compelling reasons to make money, and feel great about it. Number one, because it gives us a pro mindset. Number two, because it improves our customers' experience. Number three, because it allows us to provide for our families. And number four, because it allows us to impact the world. Well, as we wrap up this episode, I want to further debunk the idea of not charging what we really deserve for our services. So let's explore some roots of where all this money guilt comes from. Because I think if people understand where it comes from, they can start to change their perspective on it. So as we conclude this, where do you think this guilt comes from?
Well, there's a couple different roots to it. One of them is that there's a cultural and spiritual stigma that's often associated, depending on the community you're in, with acquiring wealth. And I've seen this among a lot of Christians, because it's a misreading of the Bible. The Bible says that money is a root of all evil. Mm. It doesn't say it's the root of all evil. And so certainly it can be misused, it can be abused, it can be the source of a lot of evil, but it's not the problem.
Right.
Money's never the problem. The problem is what you do with it.
Yep.
The money's neutral. And so I think just that cultural stigma to recognize it for what it is, and why is there this hang up? Sometimes it comes from an anti-materialism, and believe me, I'm not pro-materialist, but I think, again, the things that are material that are in the world are just neutral. God made us in a physical world, and we need to use that to our advantage. But to have a negative attitude towards that, that's coming from a philosophical mindset that's, I don't know, bizarre.
Yeah, I would challenge people to really dig deep and think about, on a personal level, where that is coming from.
Yeah,
because sometimes, you know, I've seen it with myself. Sometimes that's rooted in jealousy.
Yeah,
you know, and you have to kind of break yourself from that and think, you know, what could be possible if you shifted your mindset and looked at that as, you know, an amazing blessing for that particular person, but also as an example of what could be done.
Yeah,
or what could be for you in your own future.
Well, and that kind of brings me to the second root from whence this comes, and that's a false association between wealth and greed.
Hmm.
Certainly, I haven't met them, but I'm certain there are some wealthy people that are very greedy.
Yep.
You know, but some of the most greedy people I've ever met are poor.
Hmm.
You know, they covet something they don't have, and they don't want to work for it. I think that's irrespective of somebody's financial condition. You know, greed can exist.
Right.
And so just to associate it with people that are wealthy, or that somehow if I become wealthy that I'm in danger, spiritual danger or some other danger, certainly wealth brings responsibility.
Yep.
But I know a fair amount of wealthy people and people that are incredibly generous. You know, we live in a part of the world that funds charity and generosity the entire planet.
Yep.
And our prosperity makes that possible. And I'm not saying there aren't exceptions. There probably are people out there that hoard it to themselves or have a scarcity mindset. But I think one of the things that people that are wealthy have figured out is that there's more where that came from.
Right.
And so that if they want more, they got to give away more. They've got to, they realize a sense of responsibility for the planet, for other people, that they've got enough where their own needs are satisfied, and something shifts when that happens. You know, they start looking out for other people.
And I also think that money serves as an amplifier for who we are. You know, if we're greedy when we don't have money, we're going to be even greedier.
Yes.
When we have money. If we're generous when we don't have money, I believe we'll be even more generous.
I think that's right.
With money. And so it's almost like money serves as a tool to amplify who you really are.
Yeah, and I think that kind of brings us to the third root, which is that sometimes when people aren't practicing generosity at their level of income, then they feel guilty about making more.
Right.
You know, and so once people start giving at whatever level it's at, that, like you, it opens a possibility to go, you know what? This is fun. This is gives me meaning. This is a way for me to contribute. But until that happens, if people are tight-fisted with what they have at whatever level of income they are, they're probably not going to feel good about making more money.
Yeah, and the other thing that I would say too, if I can add one more to the list.
You can.
Is that I feel like, for me in my personal life, money has attracted the kind of people that I want in my life.
Hmm.
And so it's kind of weird because like I, once I connected money with generosity, that money was a tool to allow me to have more impact and be more generous, I started to find others who had the same shared belief.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me has been incredibly empowering. You know, being able to connect with people like yourself who are so generous. You know, many people probably don't know Michael, but you have been incredibly generous with helping us build schools over in Kenya. You and Ken Davis, your business partner and another venture. And to me, that's so inspiring to be able to work and partner with and just be around friends who have the same shared mm-hmm. belief.
And I
really feel that once you get into that mindset, you really start to attract some amazing people who, again, amplify those things, those values, those beliefs that you have inside of yourself and really help encourage you to take it to another level.
Well, you're a very generous person too, amazingly generous person. And I really want to surround myself with generous people. And not just generosity when it comes to finances, but generosity of love, of kindness, of patience, of all those things. But financial generosity is part of that.
And and when you have the financial means, it also allows you to have a little more fun with your generosity.
It does. Well.
Like you can give cool gifts, experiences for people that they never normally would be able to have, and that becomes fun.
Yeah, we have, there's a young man that we support through World Vision, and we're making it possible, and it's not really that expensive, making it possible for him to go to college.
Wow.
And it's so fun just to see the experience that he gets to have in going to college, something that seemed completely out of range, wasn't a possibility for him, but to realize that we're able to make that possible is a very rewarding and, as you said, fun thing to do.
Well, let me share one final story, if I can,
yeah.
as an example of this and how it can completely change the trajectory of a person's life. So when I began my career as a motivational speaker, I was doing whatever I could to make money as a speaker. And I didn't know the business at all. I was just learning it as I was going and I was struggling. But I was doing some, you know, creative things to get new speaking engagements and so forth. And then there was this one particular workshop that was coming to Toronto, and it was on how to build your speaking business. And I remember signing up for it. It was $100. And then the night before, I remember sitting with my girlfriend, now wife, Amy, and I said, you know, I don't think I'm going to go to this. I think I'm going to cancel and I'm going to get my money back. And she's like, why? And I said, well, I just found out it's $100 US. And with the exchange rate at the time, that would have made it about $135 and gas there and lunch and so forth, would have been about $170, $180 a day. And at the time, I was just fresh out of college. I mean, that was a lot of money for me. And she said, no, you got to go. This is the business that you're in. You got to go and learn everything that you can. And so I go to this workshop and I learned a phenomenal amount that day. And then the person running the workshop offered further education and it was very expensive. It was $15,000.
Wow.
And there was $3,000 deposit. And I remember the gentleman sitting beside me, I still remember his name, Vern Martin. He turned to me and he said, are you going? And I said, Vern, dude, listen, I struggled to even get here. I said, I don't even have a credit card with that kind of a limit. I said, no, I'm not going. I've learned a ton. I'm going to take what I've learned here and I'm going to go to apply. He said, I'll pay for you to go. And I thought, what? What do you mean you'll pay for me to go? Like, what's the catch? He said, listen, I've just been so impressed with our conversations throughout the day that I would love to hire you for some consulting on how to creatively get more speaking engagements. And I said, okay, wait a minute. So you're willing to pay for me to go, and in exchange, you want to brainstorm with me? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, done deal. And so I went home, and I told my parents, and my dad's like, what does this man want with you? And I said, no, Dad, like, it's legit. And sure enough, so Vern paid for my admission to the workshop. My parents paid for my flight. I bought one extra large pizza at the beginning of the week, and I had one slice for breakfast, and I would go to the workshop. I'd come back and I'd have one slice for lunch. I'd go to the workshop and come back and I'd have one slice for dinner. And I did that all week.
Wow.
And that workshop ended up being the catalyst for setting me on a whole new path you know, and I went from that to making a lot more per speaking engagement with what I was doing with the motivational speaking stuff. Then I went on to work with a big seminar company, and then that led me to starting my own business, and then that led me to starting my own software company, and then that led me to kind of where we are today. And that none of that would have happened had that Vern Martin been so generous to use his financial means to be able to send me to that conference. And it was awesome. Like, we brainstormed, I helped consult with him for a whole bunch of times. But it was amazing. I've never forgotten that moment of generosity that really changed the direction of my career and my life.
And that happened because Vern had the money to make it happen.
Exactly. Had he not had that financial means, I would be on a different path.
So this gives us kind of a moral reason or a moral foundation for making money.
Right.
You know, it's not just so we can consume it on ourselves, but it's so we can help those who are in need, make an impact to the world, and leave it better than when we found it.
Awesome. I love this subject.
I know you do.
Well, I hope you too have enjoyed this episode. You can find all of the show notes, plus we'll link up the Secret Billionaire video on the show notes as well. And you can find a video version of today's podcast all over at michaelhyatt.com. Also, please take the time and rate the podcast. That would be incredibly generous of you, because the more ratings we get, the higher the show will get in terms of its visibility for new people. And we want to attract more great people like yourself. So jump over to iTunes, rate the podcast. We'd be grateful. Michael, as we wrap up today's episode, any final thoughts?
Yeah, I'd say for most people listening to this episode, they're going to spend a lot of their life making money. And I think it's important to get really clear on why you're doing it. And don't let that be something you're ambivalent about, but have a moral reason, a transcendent reason that gives you the motivation you need to make as much as you can so you can make as big an impact as you can make.
Amen, brother. Well, until next time, remember, your life, your one and only life, is a gift. Now go make it count.